This is Preps Today with John Millay. Last weekend, we had Preps Today with John Millay, without John Millay, an unusual move. John was booked. We did the grand opening of the TCO in Stillwater. We had Bo Laborde, and we were lucky enough to be able to get some rookie that we're breaking in named Randy Shaver to fill in for John. Shock of all shocks, Randy was really good. And Randy's son, Ryan Shaver, works for TCO. He was there. He's of course, a great guy we've had on a lot before. And we had Chris Hockey on. Chris is one of the great human beings in the world. So, even without John, it ended up being, a great day and a great show. We were very lucky.
Yeah, Jim, I really enjoyed listening to it. And we've talked about before why I couldn't be there. We'll go into that a little bit more during this show. But, yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, I know everybody you had on there. I've never met Chris Hockey, but I know how outstanding he is. And, Randy and Ryan Shaver, they don't come better than those guys. Bo Laborde is one of the guys, a coach I've known for a long time. It was fantastic. Pizza Bar and Food Truck was there, and there was a lot going on besides the show. I mean, with the Vikings players out there hanging out and stuff for the kids, and Twin Cities Orthopedics did a great job putting all this together. And it was really neat. I really enjoyed listening to that. After Brandon, our producer, posted it, I thought it was excellent. And speaking of the Vikings, I've got a little tidbit here. Last week, the High School League Board of Directors had a meeting, and one thing the Vikings related came out of this. This seems like a natural thing. The Vikings, they basically have partnered with the High School League moving forward as a sponsor of the state semifinal football games and the prep bowl games at U.S. Bank Stadium. That's really outstanding. There's a monetary piece of that the Vikings came through with. And this is kind of a trend around the country. I know in Indiana, the Colts sponsor their football championship games. The Pacers and their WNBA team are involved in their high school basketball tournament. So that's a great thing. And we're thrilled to have the Vikings be part of that. Since we're using their stadium for our games, that seems only right.
It makes a lot of sense. And obviously we love partnering. Here, Talk North, we really loved partnering with TCO. We also love working with Jody Stay. Jody killed it. Yeah. Everybody was really impressed with the operation. Brandon and I had some of the pizza, and it just, I mean, it's just remarkable you make a pizza that good out of a food truck. They also make, anyway, we'll do the pizza at Barn Ad later, but Jody killed it. Let's get into this show, and then we'll revisit some of the stuff we brought up on Saturday. You want to start with Thank a Ref this week?
Yeah, let's start with this is kind of a special Thank a Ref, and you guys talked about that Saturday out at TCO and Stillwater. Bo Laborde certainly aware of that. Randy's aware of that. There's, we got real issues here with officials, and I think I kind of previewed this last week. I've been working on a couple of stories profiling two officials, and I've posted the first one. We're talking here late Wednesday morning. The first story was posted a few hours ago. It's about Marshall Behrens, a famous official. He lives in Rochester, down in that part of the state. Everybody knows him. He's the veteran that I'm writing about. Marshall works, all he does is football, boys and girls basketball, baseball, and softball. Oh, wait a minute. He also does amateur baseball in the summer, and he officiates Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference football games. So he's the busiest official we have, and he's been doing it for more than two decades. Really interesting talking to Marshall. I've seen Marshall work various sports and enjoyed getting to know him. We had a great conversation on the phone as I put this together. So if you go to John's Journal at mshsl.org, you can read about Marshall. It's funny, I put the link on Twitter to the story, and I think everybody in Southeast Minnesota who has a Twitter account has said something about Marshall, just how great, he is and what a good guy he is. And one thing that didn't make the story was some student sections, these are high school kids, some student sections down there, they know Marshall. He's the official everybody knows. If he's not working a game, a volleyball or football, whatever, they'll start chanting, "We want Marshall." And this happened at a state basketball tournament one time. Rushford Peterson was playing, and the Rushford Peterson students at the I don't know if this was boys or girls, Target Center or Williams Arena, began chanting, "We want Marshall," because he wasn't working their game. So that's how well known he is. Quite a guy.
That's amazing. That's amazing for a ref to get positive feedback. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, like that. From high school kids, because they've seen him work and everybody knows him. The newcomer I'm writing about, I haven't posted that story yet as we're talking now, Kim Royston. a football name people know. He was a superstar at Creighton-Durham Hall, started playing college football at Wisconsin, was there 2 years, and then transferred back here to play for the Gophers. You know, not a big guy, about 5'8", defensive back, kick returner, faster than anyone could imagine. And he is 34 years old. He's a middle school principal in Plymouth, and he's a new dad. So what did he do this fall? He became a football official, a high school football official. This is his first year. I've been talking to Kim, as well as the white cap, the referee on his crew, Jared Leader, who's really experienced, really good guy. I saw this crew work a game a few weeks ago. And it's funny, you know, Kim has more high-level experience as a football player than almost any officials we have. And he's going to have an outstanding career as an official, you know, and he told me he wants to get back to the game. He wants to do everything he can to make sure kids get these opportunities. And he said he's talking to his former teammates, I assume high school and college teammates, encouraging them to think about becoming officials. So those are the two officials I'm profiling, the veteran and the newcomer, and really enjoyed talking to those guys. I enjoy seeing officials, you know, every time I go to whatever it is, soccer, volleyball, football, whatever. I like hanging out with the officials. They're the best of the best. So that's two of the great ones right there.
And I'll tell you what, becoming a principal of a middle school in Plymouth at the age of 34 is an accomplishment all by itself.
Yeah. Kim said something like, he said, hey, officiating football is easy. Try being a middle school principal.
Yeah. My wife is a principal, an elementary school principal, and it's just, that's an impressive life achievement there.
Yeah, and I've talked to other administrators who say, yeah, you want to be in the belly of the beast, go be a middle school principal.
Yeah, you're getting mad.
You know, the little kids.
Puberty, man.
That's it. The elementary kids are cute. The high school kids have a little more maturity, but man, you go into a middle school, you better have your flak jacket on.
No kidding. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff on Kim Royston. Let's remember Bob Brink.
Yeah, this Bob Brink passed away, I think Saturday. He was just an iconic boys basketball coach at Ricori High School. He was 84. He coached for 51 years, the final 42 at Ricori. And I'll admit, I did not know Bob well. I saw his teams play several times, but I knew I had written about him. So I kind of went through the Johns Journal archives. And I had written about his final game, a loss in the 2012 state tournament that he retired at that point. And it was really interesting to go through that. And people who knew Bob know he was not an outwardly emotional guy. But at the end of that game, I think he felt so bad for his kids. It was a game he thought they could have won, maybe should have won. And I kind of explained in the story, I was there. I can remember the scene outside one of the locker rooms at Williams Arena. I don't know. There were only three or four of us reporters waiting to talk to him. And he just kind of started the standard post game. And then the last question I asked him, which ended up being the last question of his basketball career, I said, do you think the kids are disappointed and that they couldn't win this one for their coach? And he had some tears in his eyes. And I kind of described that in that story from almost 10 years ago. So that's also on John's Journal. And, you know, again, when I tweeted this news, I'm grateful to somebody who sent me a DM on Twitter Monday night to let me know. And then I found the obituary. And when I tweeted a link to that, it was really amazing to see the response. Just everybody, it seemed like, who had played against Bob's teams or coached. There were broadcasters, officials, you know, reporters. All these people came through with great comments and remembrances of Bob and his family. And the funeral is Friday here this week in Cold Spring. So Bob Brink was just one of the greats.
Good stuff on Bob. Let's go to the Pine Trifecta. And by the way, before we get to anything else, I do want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton. Let you know, if you want to listen to the show we did on Saturday, Stillwater, Ryan Shaver, Chris Hockey, everybody else, go to TalkNorth.com. It'll be in the archives. Or you can go back on TalkNorth Pod on Twitter. We always have everything. That's a great place to see all the shows that are released. Tons of outdoor content, the best sports content in town. Lavelle Neal, Roy Smalley, Anthony LaPanta, Michael Russo, John Krasinski, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want it, like if you'd like to advertise with the show or arrange for us to do a live show at a big event that you're having, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. And a reminder, best way to listen to this show or any of the shows, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It is free. All right, let's go to the Pine Trifecta now.
The Pine Trifecta. Yeah. As of last Friday night, I have officially completed the trifecta of visiting every Minnesota high school that has Pine in their name. I've been to Pine Island.
Did you get a tattoo?
I did not know tattoos yet, but I had been to Pine Island several times. I've been to Pine City, and Friday night I went to Pine River, home of Pine River Bacchus High School. And a few years ago, I was going back through my brain pan. I realized I had done the same thing in the Maple category, Maple Lake, Maple Grove, Maple River. So I've got Maple and Pine cleared out here. And I went up Friday night to Pine River. Really, really interesting game. They hosted Ada Borup West. Ada Borup West was undefeated. Pine River had one loss. And I went down to the wire. These teams traded scores. The winning score came on a pick six with a little over 2 minutes to play. The cool story with Pine River to me is 3 years ago, they didn't have enough football players to have a season. So they've got seniors who did not have any football games when they were freshmen. And they've done a good job. The only downside there, you know, going back to officials, they only had four officials. And I tweeted a picture of the crew. One was ill, I believe. And we, you know, not only are there not enough officials, there's no extra officials. They can't call somebody off the bench on a Friday night. So, and any high school game, no matter what class, that's a big job for four officials, you know, and this crew did a great job there. Jeff Prius, John Kostanek, Tim Seaton, and Greg Asala. They did a fantastic job.
Good stuff. Tell us about Pizza Barn. Jody Stay.
Yeah,
the food truck thing is just killing. She's telling me they're gonna start a second food truck because the first food truck is overbooked for way out because it's been such a big success.
They're gonna need a food chopper or a food Learjet. I mean, come on. Yeah, and as we said, they were out there at the grand opening of the Twin Cities Orthopedics facility in Stillwater, and as you said, it's amazing. And I know they stayed busy handing out all those great selections, the pizzas and the hoagies and everything. The pizza of the month for October is the Oktoberfest. You'll find that at the Pizza Barn. That's an annual fan favorite this month. They start with homemade crust, they're on some tangy barbecue sauce, diced bratwurst, sauerkraut, mozzarella, and Swiss cheese, some black pepper, and that's available for, as like everything else, dine-in, delivery, take and bake. And there's more good news at the Pizza Barn. The buffet up there, which is fantastic, had been shut down by COVID, as buffets generally were, but they're working on bringing it back maybe by late October, early November. Jody says the lunch buffet should be ready to go, so I can't wait for that. And if you're driving north or south on 169, veer off into downtown Princeton, find the Pizza Barn. It's easy, right on the main drag, and tell them Jim and John sent you.
Tell us about the reason you couldn't be there.
Yeah. The reason I missed the Saturday extravaganza, I was in Brainerd. I was in Pine City Friday night, found a place to sleep in Brainerd that night. And Saturday afternoon, there was just a really wonderful event to honor Ron Stolsky, who spent 58 years as a head football coach, the last 45 in Brainerd. And he retired after the 2019 season. An event was planned spring of 2020. That's when the world exploded with COVID. And it had been rescheduled a couple times. I'm glad they finally got it in, because it was really fabulous in a great event space up there. It's called the Northern Pacific Center. There's several old classic railroad buildings that there's shops and stores and, you know, wedding venues. And so this was in one of those buildings. It was really neat. And, you know, Ron, over his time as a coach, he probably did as much or more for high school football in Minnesota than anyone ever has, you know, not only coaching at Brainerd, but he's been the executive director of the Football Coaches Association for a long time. And I think Randy even mentioned this Saturday, that Coaches Association is one of the most respected in the country. They hear from other coaches associations all over, and most of that is due to Ron Stolsky's leadership. So he's not going away. He's still involved. And there were hundreds of people there. It was really neat. The space was just covered with Warrior football memorabilia and old photos. And and just really neat. And several people spoke, and I was quite honored to be among that group. I don't know. Ron had asked me, you know, originally to do that. I don't think I deserve to do that, but I was glad to. And it was interesting to hear, especially men who coached alongside him, some of his former assistants who were with him, you know, for a long time. We heard some great stories, some really emotional words from these people. Everybody thought, everybody thinks so highly of Ron. And if there had been a title on my remarks, the title would have been "The Three Times Ron Stolsky Brought Tears to My Eyes." And I talked about the three times, you know, one, two of them were listening to him in the locker room or, you know, behind an end zone, giving his final pregame speech to the team. And the third one, the probably the most emotional one, was the day he announced his retirement. We talked on the phone and he was telling me about talking to the team, you know, calling a team meeting, you know, long, you know, in the off season and telling them he was wrapping it up and just a special scene he told me about. Again, if you go to John's Journal on MSHSL.org, I've got a story about that. And I treasure my friendship with Ron Stolsky, and I wish him nothing but sunny days and big fish. And there was an added bonus in my trip to Brainerd. My great friend Mike Bialka, the retired sports editor of the Brainerd Dispatch, we go way back. He's one of the great guys. We had lunch before the Stolsky thing, so I ticked a lot of boxes, you know, while I was in Brainerd. And there wouldn't have been many reasons I would have missed that event in Stillwater, but this was certainly worthwhile.
Let's wrap the show up with more Hall of Famers. I do want to remind you a couple of live shows. We love doing live shows to talk to, getting out and seeing people. October 20th, Chin Music. That's a baseball show with Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal. We'll talk Twins, but we'll also talk postseason baseball. And we talk whiskey, food, music, everything else. Font of information on all those things. Both of those guys are. It'll be October 20th at the Pizza Luce in Eden Prairie. It's kind of weird. It's in a little hotel area. You kind of have to eyeball it once you get the GPS close, but it's there, and we really enjoy seeing people there. October 26th, downtown Pizza Luce, right there by Target Field and Target Center and all that. Lindsay Whalen is going to show up with some of her people October 26th at the downtown Pizza Luce. Again, follow us on Twitter to get more details on all that. Let's hear more about Hall of Famers, John.
Yeah, my trip to Pine River and Brainerd was great. And then I left the Stolsky event right away, kind of when the program was done. I had to hustle back up here to the Twin Cities for an event Saturday night. I admitted to people when I got there, and I got there late. I admitted I broke the speed limit driving from Brainerd back to town. But last week we talked about the incoming class of MSHSL Hall of Famers. So this event Saturday night was the Minnesota State High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame and Awards Banquet, and they invite me every year. For some reason, years ago, they made me an honorary lifetime member of their group. Another thing I don't understand why somebody would do that for me, but very honored. So this banquet is really neat. They induct Hall of Famers, and they give awards to coaches of state championship teams, you know, a head and assistant coach of the year in all sports. But the headliners are always the new members of the Coaches Association Hall of Fame. So congratulations are in order for Floyd Smaller Jr. of St. Paul Central, Kent Wieselman of United South Central and Wells Easton, David Maris of Brainerd, Steve Hangartner of Watertown Mayor, Michael Jacobs of Marshall, and Susan Alstrom of Buffalo Lake, Hector Stewart. It's really amazing when they announce kind of the bios of these people, how long they've done this. When you hear somebody has been a section track and field coach in five different decades, that tells you what kind of individuals these are. So congrats to all of them.
Good stuff, as always, from John. John, nice to have you back on the show. I think we're going to keep you around.
Can we do a couple more things here, Jim?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I might have left some items off the list. I've got a food of the week. I've got a rodent of the week. When you have Lindsay Whalen on the show.
I hope they aren't the same thing.
No, as far as I know. When you do the show with Lindsay, ask her if she comes up with a rodent of the week, I'll be surprised. But that's the kind of stuff you get here.
Well, the rodent of the week for Lindsay would be a gopher.
There you go. This was not a gopher, but let's go start with food of the week. Up at Pine River Bacchus, the Booster Club has rocketed to the top of the list. They had pulled pork sandwiches and real quality pulled pork. You know, you throw $5 in a bucket, you get a pulled pork sandwich, chips, a drink, and a cookie. And I squirted a little barbecue sauce on that thing. And man, and I, like you, I've had barbecue in Kansas City. That's what this reminded me of. I don't know what the secret was.
That's high.
The secret was not rodent. That's right. The secret was not rodent, but we have a rodent of the week. A frequent tweeter named Dave Peterson tweeted a little video, and he wrote, I've watched a lot of high school football, but a muskrat on the field is something else. This was at a football game with Cass Lake Bina at Nevis Friday night. The video was a little grainy, and it looked like Mr. Muskrat may have been stomped on by a player or two before one of the officials picked it up, got it off the field. Let's play more ball, boys. So there's your first ever rodent of the week. And three quick items here. Congratulations are in order. A couple of volleyball coaches have reached milestones. John Zube at Stuartville got his 1,000th win. Scott Jackson at Wayzata got his 500th. Those are big numbers. Up at Moose Lake Willow River, Dave Luzek, the football coach, got his 200th career coaching victory. That's a big number in football. And down at Randolph, they have an annual fundraising, a Dig Pink volleyball night. And for a group called the Sight Out Foundation. I don't know how a little town like Randolph does this, but they raised over $34,000 in one night. And, you know, there's not, I don't know if there's 400 people in that town, but it's a great event. I've been there once or twice. So congratulations to everybody in Randolph for doing great things.
Great stuff as always, John. Great to have you back on. Maybe one of these days we'll get you and Randy on the same show. That would be a great conversation as well.
That'd be scary. That's two Iowa natives. Look out.
Okay, bad idea. We won't do it.
Bad idea. Don't do that. No, it'd be awesome. It'd be great.
So thank you to John. Thank you to Brandon. Thank you all for listening to TalkNorth.com. We do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.